Everybody stand and pledge allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We've got a relatively short agenda tonight. Before we get to questions and comments on tonight's agenda, I just want to take a minute to run through a couple items. I want to speak on behalf of the board and welcome all staff, administration, and students back to school. I think it's been an extremely busy summer, and I know that all of our staff has worked extremely hard to get all matters in place to start, and for that we thank you. We have new administrators and teachers in a variety of positions, and I believe that we are poised for success. I think the potential that we have is awesome. I really do. It excites me. I'm excited for this year, and I believe that the attention of all the parties is tightly focused on growth and improvement across the board. I was happy to hear reports back on the first day meetings and discussions and the emphasis that was placed on the goals the board adopted at our last meeting. I look forward to a productive school year where we can come together more tightly than we have in the past to exceed all expectations. Together we can succeed. To that end, I want to take an opportunity to thank the Seven Bridges Office Staff Association. We've reached an agreement for a contract extension for 3 years, 4 years with the unit. In our estimation, the contract is good for the district and the unit, and we believe that will help drive savings for the district in the long term, while ensuring that we're able to be competitive in the hiring marketplace. Further, I'm pleased to report that with regard to the AAS grievance brought by the CMTA, we have continued negotiations. I feel that the conversations between the district and the union have been productive to date. While we have not yet reached an agreement that will enable us to continue to grow, the tenor of the talks is good, and I believe we will get there. The CMTA has made a reasonable proposal, yet the board believes that to achieve our goals of growth and the addition of the programs in both the near and longer term, we need to continue our talks a bit more to find savings where possible to ensure that we are adequately able to fund these goals. We will continue our talks. With that, I ask Russ if he's like the same thing in the first couple of days.
I agree with Josh that it was a very busy summer. Publicly, I don't see Tom Kelly or Gary Crowell here or Samosa members, but I think we all should, if you see them around, congratulate them on the work they did this summer because the buildings were ready, all the materials were ready to go, and it was a good start this year. What did I see as I walk around? One of the first things you saw at the high school was a new tradition, and I don't know who to thank, but I believe maybe Mike Kaczynski, but I'm not sure if that's true or not true. But we had the entire high school faculty. They were actually standing at the front entrance when the students came in this year. I heard a rumor that might even happen several more times, or maybe even weekly throughout the year. But it was definitely exciting. I heard a lot about it from the community members, even friends of mine. The kids were excited about it, but I thought that was great and a new tradition, and I hope that certainly continues. Exciting news at the middle school. You do know that the middle school staff was attempting to eliminate study halls. The plan was actually, I believe, for next year in the five-year plan to eliminate them completely, but they were able to do it this year. So this is the first year in history that all students are scheduled study hall free. In place of the study hall, the sixth grade is now taking a research skills class, seventh grade is a STEM class, and the eighth grade is a creative writing class. So I thought that was interesting to be able to walk through there the first days and not see a study hall at all. Go to the elementary school, you know, I guess it's just in my heart that I take something for granted. When you go there the first day, and you see the bulletin boards, and you see the classrooms, and everything is set up, you know, it looks great. It looks unbelievable, Miss Hardwick, there. But it kind of dawned on me when you're staring at it that they came here during the summer, because there's no way the first day you're going to walk in and the school's going to look like that. And so, you know, kudos to the entire staff, because that's what I call goodwill. That was the first thing I noticed as I was walking around, and the preparation, and just a tremendous job by the faculty there. The other thing I noticed at the secondary campus is, you know, you'll see a lot of teachers helping students, especially the sixth graders coming in, or the eighth graders going up to high school, to ninth grade, helping them. You know, I even when I walk in, a student asked me today about room 215, and I got confused. And I physically, I walked them there. We got there together, but it was they ask whoever they see. They need help. And the one thing I noticed is the students helping the students, which, you know, kind of warmed my heart a little bit, and that was one of the things I noticed there. Mr. Caswell was busy. I'm going to embarrass Mr. Caswell a little bit, but when I was there, I know he does this every year, so I know it's annually, but the amount of time, Mr. Caswell on the first day meets with every single senior class, so he gets to meet every single senior there. He discusses their role and responsibility. This year he was fired up, and I know the board saw the email about the college process because of his 26 college visits this summer, but he talks about their applications, their responsibility as leaders and role models. Today, he was running around. I couldn't even talk to him, but he's running around to the juniors. And I know that it goes from the juniors, and by Tuesday, my understanding is he'll be in every single student will see him, and he'll get to speak to them. And I think a small school district, you have the opportunity to have the principal do that. Mrs. Bates did it through the cafeteria, and she gave a presentation to the students in the cafeteria, and then literally went to every single table in the cafeteria talking to the students. And I, you know, again, a small school. Ms. Hardwick went to every single class. How do you walk an entire elementary school? But she's off. I was there today. I got some of them in, not nearly as many as you, but the three principals, just getting out there early and seeing everybody, I think, is a great thing. Study halls of the high school, we had a concern early on, very quickly. In fact, even a board member was asking me at one point in time, how the study hall members look. And although they didn't change, per se, I guess, percentage-wise, it's always bothersome, I think, to all of us. We don't like the study halls. Last year, we had a major discussion with the board, and I think it came down to, and if I'm correct, Ricardo, you know the FTEs, but it was about three elective teachers to fill them all. But what we did do this year is we looked at it very closely because we have overtures. We can give a teacher for $7,900. It's one of the lines we have in the budget. I always go through Carol to make sure I'm online. But we were able to add three, especially in the cafeteria, right, that period three and five, study halls go in there. And so we're happy to say we added a criminal justice class, a marketing class, and a sociology class. Am I wrong? Maybe I'm wrong.
Correct. Two of them are Excelsior.
And two of them are Excelsior. So, you know, you're pulling out...
Which two?
Criminal justice, sociology.
So we're able to do that in the budget line that we have, so we're proud of that. And those teachers do leave their duties... So that does become another extra concern, Carol, that I know you and I spoke a little bit about this morning, because you pull them off of duties, you know, hallways and so on. You need to fill that. But I think that's great that we're tackling the issue of study halls at the high school as well. You know, multiple study halls, the numbers are extremely, extremely low. You know, you even have two. But even have one. You know, if a student wants it, it's great. Some really want it. But I'd like to have them offered at some point, but I'm never going to have that. Positive vibe in all the schools. The kindergartens win the show. They always do. It's like a concert. Today, going down there, watching them, they're adorable. They're welcome to the family. They're walking, and they don't even touch. They're so adorable. So, you know, I really think they won the show today, and they looked welcome to the Clayton Huey, nobody crying. And it was hot. It was hot. We had a heat alert today, so they couldn't go out to recess. I heard that in the school and at home quite a bit. Students want to go out for recess. They believe that they can do it in the summer. Why not now? I explained the whole thing that I don't make that decision, so that's yours, Ms. Hoffman. I told them I make the snow decision, but certainly not the heat alert. So. But great stop. Thank you.
Thank you. Brings us to the next session of the agenda. Questions and comments regarding tonight's agenda only? Any questions, comments regarding tonight's agenda only? Great. Next session of the agenda. Motion to adopt the regular minutes of the meeting of August 19, 2015.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education accepts the following main change.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education accepts the following resolution.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education appoints the following individuals as substitutes for the 2015-2016 school year as follows.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
The district recently advertised. The district recently advertised for candidates to fill various teacher and support staff vacancies for 2015-2016. Candidates were interviewed by committees, building principals, and or the superintendent. Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following appointments with...
We're breaking out Michelle Fusilli for a second, for a second... vote because she's my sister-in-law, so there's a process that's been gone through and we're going to vote on that separately. So motion for everyone there except for her.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following appointment. Michelle Fusilli.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm refusing, I'm abstaining from that. Motion carries 4-0-1.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following contracts in accordance with the terms and conditions of the contracts as well as the established costs contained in said contracts and authorizes the president to sign said contracts.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education accepts the following donation. Santa Maria's PTA donating a potter's wheel and supplies for the art department at the secondary campus at a value of $1,300.
So, as always, the donations are really what keep many of these things going. So we want to thank the PTA, which is a phenomenal donation. I think we'll get put to very, very good use. Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education accepts the following grant in aid.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously. So this next one was the... This is what we put over from the last one, milk cooler. We didn't know what it was, and we wanted clarity. We've now got clarity.
We did decide it was a cooler,
though. The cooler, yes.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the disposition of equipment.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the Santa Maria's varsity soccer teams, approximately 50 students, to attend the University of Connecticut trip on October 3rd at no cost to the district.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the recommendation of the committees on special education and preschool special education for the months of June and July for the 2015-2016 school year.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the transportation request by Family A.
This was at no additional cost to the district, correct?
Correct.
That's correct.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the transportation request by Family B.
Same question?
Yes.
Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent superintendent of schools, board of education, approves the following individuals for the various 2015-2016 committees.
Motion. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. How do those committees get kicked off? We have
today. Today we send out an email to who we believe was either the lead of the year before or possibly could help organize the first meeting, and then at those meetings where they pick the chair people. So that's already went out today. So you, anybody who's on committees will probably be hearing from that person, right, Kathy? And you got your.
You did.
Here we go. So it's out.
Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the board of education conducts a third reading of the following policy and subsequently moves to adopt the policy.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. Last meeting we had a general discussion topic, which was cell phone usage, and I think we went very in depth into the policy at the middle school and the practice, and we looked at kind of afterwards the referrals, and we had asked to put off the high school until Mr. Caswell could be here to kind of discuss a bit of his thoughts. You know, we know what the policy says, we've read that, but what you've seen, what came out of site-based, why it was implemented, and whether you see issues that we should address.
Sure. Well, ironically, when I was preparing for my class meetings, starting yesterday and continuing through next week, I actually saved the 2010-2011 school year my little script, and to my surprise, because I had forgotten about it, 3/4 of the material that I talked about was cell phones. But it was all step one, we confiscate, and step two, the parents come in, and step three, SWAT team comes in. And it was really interesting because I had completely forgotten about what I used to do. And it's really a sign of the times. So that was my first remembrance of 2010-11. Then I remembered when I first got here, actually, Pat and I were in the office in August, and I wanted to look at some of the discipline records. And I saw there was a significant number of superintendent hearings, which I found to be kind of shocking in a small school. So when I drilled down with Pat, I was like, are they kidding me? The cause was a cell phone. I mean, it led to bigger and better things, but the singular spark was the confiscation of the cell phone. So I went, wow, that's an issue. And then the tipping point for me personally came during my first year there. I had a lot of veteran teachers come to me and say, you know what, even the good kids, they're like addicted to these phones. I mean, they're underneath the desk and they're under the books and they're not paying attention to them. So I said, we got to do something about this. So beginning of the next school year, we really hit it hard. I spent a ton of time bringing in kids. I did my small faculty meeting, my small group faculty meetings with the entire staff. I brought site-based. And the bottom line, site-based really was the summation of every bit of feedback I got. The clear, not even consensus, the clear opinion was, we got to do something different. So I presented the site base and said, we could go either extreme. We can clamp down and I'll have tables every day and we'll, pat them down, get them all. I had one parent on the site base, Mr. Caswell, I don't care what you do, I'm talking to my kid every day. I don't care what you do, I'm talking to them by phone. And the parents cited all the violence in the schools that have perpetrated our society. So I won't talk to my kid. I want to know they're safe every day. So I said, well, we have an opportunity to go the other direction and take this as a learning opportunity, that kids need to learn when is the right time and when is there the wrong time to use their electronic devices. Because if we're going to send them to college, they're going to be walking around with a cell phone. And if they walk into a professor's class and they start texting away, they're going to get thrown out. And they're not calling mom and dad. They're out. They got to learn that. So we clearly define when they can use it. They said, look, when it's downtime, you're sitting in lunch, you want to take out your phone, you want to check the stocks or whatever the heck you do with it, it's your time. It's lunch. Classroom, you're not using it. And it made it easier for the teachers to say, no. Not only is it policy, now you can wait.
Yeah.
The bell rings, go outside and check it. So it's hooked that whole controversy, and it deflated it immediately. You know, I remember when we first started, the kids were like, you know, in lunch, like, looking at me like, I could really use this. Now, like I, you know, I kind of said today, it didn't even cross my mind to talk about a cell phone because it's embedded in the culture now. I talked about college today. I didn't talk about cell phone procedures because they know. And more so, kids use them for real purpose in schools. Like Mrs. Bleeger, one of our Spanish teachers, she has this great app that the kids go in the hall. They have their cell phones out. They record their dialogue into the cell phone. Mrs. Fleeger goes home, logs onto the application, and listens to the dialogue. And then the next day, has a grade. Hey, Mrs. Stewart, you got 80% of that right. Go out in the hallway and work it out again. You know? The board last year met all my student leaders, my compassionate board leaders. Well, Marissa Taché was my text contact, I called it. So whenever I needed to get a quick message out, like even during a school day, I'm like, Marissa, send out to the gang. I can't beat period 9. Get it out. Okay. Kelsey DeBato was this year's contact. I'm like, Kelsey, come here. All right. You know, so. It's kind of like a joke, but so when I can communicate with the kids in a heartbeat, you know. Is it perfect? No, but it significantly changed the culture because discipline referrals are minimum. Stealing a cell phone is way down. I mean, it happens every once in a while, but you know, and it was always that like quandary, like a lot of good things to come of it. Like, for instance, our tech teachers, they don't have to go out and buy a ton of cameras anymore. Because, you know, whether it's a video or a camera on a cell phone, they're better than half the things on the market, you know, a video camera. So, you know, some of my video tech classes, they're going around their cell phone as opposed to having a video camera. And it's a better product. So I think it's embraced the notion of, let's prepare these people for the inevitable time that they're going to have to make a decision when it's the right time or the wrong time. Like right now, for me to take out my cell phone and start texting would be wrong. But I had to learn that, though. And I'll tell you something else. What scares me more is kids in their cars with that technology, and they're not supervised. And as a dad of a senior who I've been withholding, letting drive, because I'm paranoid and very protective, that scares me. At least in school, we're supervising them. And we're drilling down about usage. And we have Officer Hughes and Officer Ward and have guest speakers come in and talk about social media, posting, texting and driving. I do it all the time. And it's so much helpful when we can say, hey, let's take out our phones. And let's figure out how to use it the right way. Never a perfect system. It's not a panacea. But it certainly is a much more conducive environment for mutual respect and learning.
And they're respected in the classroom.
Yep. And if they don't, it's so much easier to go, you're kidding me, right? And the kids, they all know. Like, you can go out as soon as the bell rings and check your damn phone. Why are you battling now? Well, we never had that opportunity because you know, you can't look at it, you know? Not even look at it.
And they still didn't seem to be able to wait 40 minutes, but that's...
But they're not at the desk anymore, or the books. You don't have to. You can check it later. And they got to learn that.
It is never perfect. Yeah. And 90% of the time that I did talk to kids, it was their parents calling. So if the parents, we can't get the parents. Really, at first I thought they were lying. And then I was like, no, and I said, I'll talk to your parent.
Can we take
it's not fair
call?
To put that.
I usually I'll talk
to the parent.
Saying, we're not supposed to use the phone to school, you know, travel away from the main office. Like, I was like, can I talk to mom? And then I talk to them. And
do we do any type of, you know, responsible phone usage? Not necessarily time and place, but pictures last forever, those types of things?
Oh, yeah, big time.
That's also
absolutely.
Massive thing.
No. That's the biggest issue. Without a doubt, that's just a voice issue.
Does Ward do that, or does they all do Ward and
all of them?
They all do.
So every kid that we've got that's in the high school where they're able to use a phone, here's some type of training that says...
They're getting a lot of this.
Yeah.
It's from different fifth angles.
What's it, from fifth?
From fifth.
And it's intertwined. You know, like when I met with PTA, we're talking about, you know, our kind of our philosophy presentations. You know, we've really moved from the one and done presentations to the barraging of the same singular message. It's all about decision making on multiple levels, whether it's your cell phone use, you know, whether it's how you talk to somebody in a hallway, whatever it is, you're always making a decision. It's going to have an impact. And you can't one and done it. You just can't. It has to be constant.
And I even turned it to vibrate.
It has to be a constant barrage of the messages coming from different angles and different sources. Because, you know, it can't be the same casual yapping about that. Yeah, I can yap, and maybe someone will listen, but we got to have other people from other angles reinforcing that. And that's what we do. I think we do a pretty darn good job, and we're pretty blessed with having the availability of a lot of different resources, and all, most of them are free.
Yeah. Well, because we just stay on first day of school.
Yeah.
In the middle school, walk around in old school, and he's coming to Tuesday meeting with every sixth grader. So, I mean, he's a great part of the culture.
He really is.
He is one of our school staff.
The sixth graders all knew him from Clinton here. So I was like, hi, I'll see you. I was introducing him, and then he said, we know him. It's all right.
Does anybody have any questions for Ed with regard to this?
Just so you know, that message was about this topic. I had texted a site-based parent to say, wasn't it a discussion there? And she just got back.
What is the policy if they use it in the classroom?
Well, it's practice. They're going to have discipline. They're going to have consequences. We try to do progressive discipline in high school. So first time, I mean, depending on how egregious it is, if it leads to, you know, an FU or a slamming of desk and storming out. It could be benign, like, you know, just ignoring. Or it could be very, very, you know, out in the open and distractive and disruptive. So depending on severity, it could be a verbal warning to an outright suspension.
Okay.
Is the implementation of the procedure uniform across all across all teachers? Meaning, are there some that are allowing usage?
You know, the thing that's never perfect,
right?
Well,
who's the bad guy?
To say yes would be much of a stretch. You know, will there be teachers that, with a minute left, which they shouldn't stop after a minute, but maybe they do for whatever reason, and the kid's checking it? I can see that happening.
So,
you're not going to see a teacher in the middle of instruction with kids just outright, you know, firing away. You're not going to see that.
And the teachers have the power.
The power. It's their domain, and you know, I used the word 4 years ago, sacrosanct. You know,
that's
people
look
it up, but it's on their phones. But really, how the teachers say, and let's face it, I mean, no matter how you saw, you can always say, not me, it's that. You know, got to follow the rules. You know, so it made it easier. And it took the onus away. Like, hey, dude, you can go. You have a lunch check period, right? Just check it next period. So we've got about 4 years of this, and like I explained earlier, it's definitely embedded in our culture. It really is.
Does anybody else have any questions? So we've discussed it in depth last time. Is the thought from the board that that's good? Do we want to send it back to a site base? Are we done? What's the feeling based on what we heard tonight?
I think usually the site-based team comes up with what they need to discuss, not us directing what needs to be discussed. So if the people in the building feel that it's working well,
then I have to continue.
And if kids or teachers don't, then you revisit, right?
I did revisit this twice. I mean, because remember, this is now 4 years now, so I did direct follow-up in the year after, and it was really kind of just point after a while. Like, I kind of was trying to kind of lay out today, personally, I didn't even think of it to talk about, because it's just a non-issue.
But teachers and kids and everybody know that they can come to you and say, we want this to be revisited, can it?
Yeah, if they need it to, sure, absolutely.
So that those channels of communication are...
Definitely.
So before we get to questions and comments, there was one additional addenda item.
To item 9, this would be 9A, contracts. Recommended action that upon the recommendation of the superintendent of schools, the Board of Education approves the following contract in accordance with the terms and conditions of the contract as well as the established cost contained in the contract.
Motion. Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. Brings us to the next section of the agenda tonight. Questions or comments from the community on matters not on tonight's agenda?
Can I just make a question to Mr. Chernow? When we went through our walkthrough, we saw your air conditioner. Is that working in compliance with IEP for your student?
Oh, wow. That's a loaded question. For now, it's fine. Just leave it at that. It works for now. So, as long as I guess the student, it works with his IEP. We're not able to pull them up right now. We met on our 504s and IEPs. We're having a problem with the IEP director we met this morning. So, as of right now, it's sufficing. So,
what is it not doing? Keeping it at the right temperature or something? Like, what?
Well, it's just that they're constantly on. I mean, obviously, with the heat, they don't ever shut off. So, they're just, in fact, we've been told just to leave them on because if you shut them off, the rooms just get extremely hot right away, so unfortunately they have to run 24/7. So they've asked us to leave them on.
And let me just follow it up. I don't have it in front of me, but just so you know, I personally measured each and every room that it has an air conditioner in. I don't have the square footage exactly for Mr. Turnhouse's room, but I was in there myself because I just wanted to make sure. And I can absolutely say that we are in compliance with the child's 504.
Yeah, that was just a concern from Gary.
That's using too much electricity, or what?
No, it's not using any too much electricity. You can only run a 12,000 BTU in a particular window because of the size of the window and it fits through. So in Mr. Turnhouse's room, which is approximately, I'm going to say just off the cuff here, about 1,200 square foot, the regular classroom that's next door to his might be about 800 square foot. So it's a larger room than the other ones. So in his classroom, what we did is we had one air conditioner in there in the corner, and we put a second one in on the other side of the room where the teacher's desk is. So we literally have two air conditioners in that particular room.
We don't fit a bigger capacity.
Yes, if you were to get, yes, exactly.
Because I missed the walkthrough, so I just...
Yeah, if you were to put a 24,000 BTU, the size of that does not fit in that window. Also, the board should know is that we've had, over the summer,
the second one wasn't in when we did our walkthrough, so I just didn't know what there was.
And actually, what we also did is look at the classroom from the year before, just to make sure that it was okay there. So we were actually in compliance, and we were going to be okay with what we had, but we decided to go, and the board asked the concern there, and Gary was still concerned, as well as the sidewalk as well. So we went into all the rooms. What we actually did is the first thing we did is what was in there, we actually took the temperature there after running it for 12 hours, and we ran the one in the old classroom as well to see, and it happened to be the same temperature. So we said, well, as for this child's been the same for 5 years. So we've done exactly that. But just to reassure ourselves, I went on the internet that night just to research BTUs, learned a little bit about air conditioners. Over the summer, you should know, though, that we've had extensive dialogue with Mr. Soto. We always, we always look at the finances as well. The child safety is always first. But secondly, we look at finances and whether or not, what does it cost to put an entire unit out, on, and so on. So we feel at this point in time we've got it in a good situation, and we're going to monitor it. Things might change as we go along. We also monitor the students who are with great needs air conditioners and plan for the future.
And now what do we do when the weather changes? Do we just seal those or we remove them from the window?
No, we just left them there.
You leave them and just seal the
answer? They're pretty much sealed, so a lot of air doesn't necessarily come in.
Okay.
So they've been fine. And then we put them back on sometime in April or in May when the temperature changes again.
And we monitor it as well. We also have a health and safety with the CMTA, and they've always been great coming to us. Mrs. Kowalik is the CMTA safety, health and safety person. So
building complaints.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, it is complaints. I hate to say that, but you know what?
We have one.
No, but no, they usually come just to make us aware of things. Say, look, this water fountain. Listen, she's wonderful. She'll come, and then Gary will work directly with her. It was John Allen at one time worked directly with her to make sure that you know everybody is satisfied. Yeah, so we do have a mechanism in house. We also have a mechanism with the principals. The principals instruct every teacher in the district that if you have any safety concern, we'll all go directly to principal.
Is there a form that's filled out, or just working out?
Actually, we eventually will do a form because we have it online, but it usually comes from the principal because we didn't want like hundreds of them going to, you know, like a John King, and all of a sudden we'll get 100 different things there's nowhere to go to. So we go through channel it through the principal, so they prioritize it. But health and safety...
Because we used to have a written form, and now we're online.
We're online for
work orders and work complaints.
For computers, and is it the same with work orders, or work orders still a hard copy?
Hard copy for the maintenance, help desk tickets for anything like tech comp.
Right, yeah, ours
is hard. It's like opening day, like at our faculty meeting, the first thing we say is any help and safety concerns come directly to us, you know, for our opening day, to have comments.
And we still see things the first day. You know, we went around, and I know we saw one or two things, and then, you don't always see everything. You know, you try to figure it out the best you can, but it was a good first, good start, though.
Any questions or comments from the community on other items not on the agenda? Great. The next board meeting is going to be on September 16th, 2015, 7:30, here in the administration building. Motion to adjourn to executive session.
For the purposes of discussing both pending or current litigation, collective negotiations of the Taylor Law with the CMPA, personnel and personnel matters. Second, all in favor?
Yes.
Motion carries unanimously. Yeah.